class while they do this. Let's move quickly. I'll get some help over here. Four, three. Over here. That's good. You work on this side. You have three. Other than four. Not four. Three or less. You heard what I said about that, those wrenches under the driver's seat and the spark plugs. How many heard me? Be sure they did. It'll save a broken neck. Under the driver's seat. I'd move them. I'd keep them in the trunk. I'd keep them in the trunk of a car, yes. I'm answering that question generally. I'd have no moving heavy metal object inside the vehicle. Have it in the trunk. You can save yourself of unnecessary injuries to the ankle. When you asked that, I saw your ankle. I don't know what it meant, but so I'd get rid of it there. Yeah. I mean, I saw a danger to your leg, you see, so that applies, I think, universally to people, to get objects that can float free, you know, and can move like a missile through the vehicle, get them out of the way. Pays to listen to me. I've had a pretty good record all these years with having no one killed on the highway. Nobody on the highways like we are. Stand up. Thank you so much. That's a lovely song. I like that melody right now anyway. Sing it. You need more cloths? Listen. Hold your hand up high. Four. Three. Wait. Three. From a mighty long way, I've been blessed by His goodness. I've been saved by His love. Our God has brought us from a mighty long way.
Sing it a little bit louder. That's sweet.
Our God has brought us from a mighty long way, a mighty long way. God has brought us from a mighty long way. I've been blessed.
I have some feeling to tell you. This little bug, you see that where that spot, that fly was there? This little bug, I swear to you, was covering just him. He was right on top where that bug was, like that was where the best place to hide. And he was just exactly on the place where the bug was, nose to nose. He's moved now. He's up here. And I thought that was such a cute thing. He was hiding in that paper, right smack on top of the picture of the bug. He's going back up there. He's going back up there and looking at it now while I'm talking to him. Right here he is. He says, I want to find out about that bug there. He said, he's a weird looking thing. See, he's looking at it now. He's looking at it. It pays you to notice little things like that. It has a healthy thought. I felt to mention it to you. If it doesn't touch you, all right, but it'll help you if it touches you. There he is. He's crawling around. He's got two little fellows back there. He can handle himself.
A mighty long way.
Peace. See you tomorrow night. You that are called for counsel, I preferred not having it done publicly tonight. If you'll allow me to have my wishes in that matter, all my love to you.
Be on time for the buses because they will depart starting at 5 p.m.
It's very important. Very important that we're there because we have these officials all week long.
Don't delay. You'll be standing here without a ride.
People are, some are questioning about various people. We'll tell you if anyone's missing. Like someone's asking where Harold Cordell is. Harold Cordell's going down to help in Los Angeles Temple for a while due to the fact that we need it, not because he's being punished.
Testing, 1, 2. Testing, 1, 2.
On the back page of the front section covers a whole page, and I would like for you to hear just a little bit of what it says. The peril of power comparable to Adolf Hitler is evident today in America in every phase of its life. The Watergate situation is one of the indications. It is absolutely frightening to the publishers of this paper. The atmosphere here is exactly like the atmosphere of Germany in 1933. This writer retains a vivid memory of a brief encounter with Hitler in 1937. He was introduced to Adolf Hitler, the Nazi dictator, through Deputy Assistant Rudolf Hess. Paine and Hitler were together for a while. At that time, he said, most of the world had the impression of Hitler as a pasty-faced little white man with an absurd mustache. He wasn't that way at all, according to Paine. His skin was bronzed. He had steely blue eyes and an elegance of manner. He had a sweet voice and more charm than most people are allowed to possess. He had a crisp, cold mind. He definitely was not a clown. I'll skip on to something else now in this same article because it's very long. He said, I expect, this writer said, now this is the paper, the leading paper in California, said, I expect, now notice this, that a government like Adolf Hitler's will happen here within the next 5 years. Now, this is not Jim Jones anymore. This is what I've been telling you for years. And here it is. In his biography, he goes on to write, this publisher, to declare that the scapegoat this time will be blacks, Mexicans, and Indians. As you know, Hitler murdered all of the Jews before he finished. Now, that won't happen to us if you listen to me. We have plans that are laid. We have plans that are absolutely workable. But it's going to take more cooperation than we now get. You're going to have to make this your chief commitment. Now, these are white people telling you that we're going to have a man like Hitler at least within 5 years, he said. Well, the Watergate is such a bad mess that the head of the FBI was guilty of burning up papers that were plots to discredit Senator Kennedy. They were all lies concocted by the State Department of the United States. That's what came out. The FBI director resigned last night because he was caught with his proverbial hand in the cookie jar burning up. The man that's supposed to enforce the laws took an order from the assistant of the president of the United States to break the law and to burn up papers that would have indicted everybody in Washington. That's how corrupt this mess is. These people involved themselves with a plan to get guns. The only thing that stopped that was a Virginia gun dealer who reported them. And they have gone in and spied and bugged and wiretapped, stole papers, lied on the Democratic Party. This evil, every kind of evil that you want to think about, they have personified it, and they are the leaders. The leaders of this United States have done everything that they've always told us that we should look upon with disgust. Now, it's right at the door, and NBC brought out the fact that Mr. Nixon did the same thing in California. This week it revealed all that had been done, which was frightening, that they represented themselves when Mr. Nixon was running for the governor of the state of California. He represented himself to be a Democrat running a Democratic organization and sent out 500,000 cards telling people to vote for him, representing himself as heading a Democratic organization, which was clear fraud. And nothing was ever done. And NBC, the nightly news, showed you the pictures of the ones that took part in that nefarious affair 12 or 13 years ago. And every one of the pictures you saw on your television are the same surly bunch that are involved in this mess now in Washington. Yeah. This paper said the scandals were very similar just before Hitler took power in Germany. Now, Mr. Nixon's going to have to do something quick, or his name is going to be mud. I don't think Mr. Nixon is the kind of man that's going to go down in history with his name mud. And I think that there's some generals that will, if it does get to him, if it finally gets to him, of course it's already with him, none of this could have been done if he hadn't been involved in it. If this gets to him, he will conspire with the generals like was done in Greece and as was done in Turkey, and was done, as I prophesied, on the 16th in the Philippine Islands, and the generals will take over, and civil liberties will be done away with, and as they did with the Japanese, they'll run everyone into concentration camps. But you'll have a few days. And we have an emergency plan for our buses that will get us out, because the Japanese had a few days, but they didn't believe it happened to them. Yet we have one in our church whose mother was put in a concentration camp in the middle of the desert, and she died with cancer, even though they owned several thousands of acres of farmland, and she was put in a concentration camp and died of cancer. I did not know her. She died of cancer and was denied an aspirin. For 6 months she agonized and suffered and bled to death and was in pain till she bit her own flesh, and they would not even give her an aspirin tablet. That's what happened to the Japanese. And if you think they would do it to the Japanese and the Jews in this United States and wouldn't do it to us, you're some kind of a dumb Uncle Tom. Now, we must not be caught lacking. We must not shirk in our duties. I'm asking you now, and I want to see every envelope. I want us to rally here. They brought me this offering. It is pittance. It won't pay for the bus fares back and forth, the fuel of the buses. And we're right on the face of a national rationing. We ought to right now be able to get gas storage. We cannot do that because everyone puts everything first except their God, except this great cause. You've got money for everything but this great cause. And this will be the life of you and your children. If you don't protect this, you're going to lose your life. Now, I mean that as a prophet. You mark my words. If we don't protect this, we'll lose our very life.
That's right.
So I'm asking everyone, and I want to see each one take an envelope now and do something sacrificially. And I want those envelopes brought up to me here on the pulpit. Everyone take an envelope. Let's do something. Let's show that we're not going to be caught lacking. We need millions of dollars to get land abroad. You understand me, folk? We need to be prepared for every emergency. We need to have our cave equipped with every kind of supply, and we're well on the way. Certainly we've got a valley up there. If we stay in America, we've got a valley that we can always come back to, and a valley that we can protect short of a dictatorship. If the earthquake comes and the nuclear war that will come on the day that we prophesied, we're well protected. We just need some more supplies. However, between now and that prophecy, a dictatorship could come, which would mean we would have to take a short journey out of this land to save our lives. Now, don't you think it can't happen to you? The Jews said they were God's chosen people. The Bible said they was, but 7 million of them died in Germany, and they had a constitution, and they had the best Bill of Rights, and they had the best democracy. But on March 5th, 1933, Hitler said there was too much trouble, so he declared martial law. Do you know President Nixon can declare, or any president can declare martial law anytime he pleases? Anytime he pleases. And this Watergate is such a mess that it'd be just like this, some case like this, when he'll say, the country's in disorder, I have to have absolute control. That's what we did in the Philippines, and believe me, if they do it here, we're finished unless we work together, move together as one people. United we stand, divided we fall. So everyone, you don't understand how it works. Some of you white people here think, well, you'll get out of it. Hitler went back and saw everyone that associated with Jews for 20 years and killed them all right along with them. It's too late, child. In the first place, it'll come to every poor white Mexican, and some of the Mexicans don't realize yet who they are. They're not like Sister Rodriguez and a few of that sort. They don't yet realize that they're one of us. Some sister today, Sister Mabel was talking, our Sister Davis that took the first offering. Someone was calling her grandchildren, a Mexican family, dirty black niggers. They didn't want them to play out in their yard. The Mexicans will wake up. They'll find out that they're dirty black niggers just like us, too. And my Indian people are beginning to realize it. At Wounded Knee, just yesterday the news came out that they come in there and strafed. The newsman said that they came in and strafed, shot down those Indians right in the streets. And what happened to him? They arrested that white man just because he was reporting the news, just because he told you the truth. They arrested him. He was a reporter, a leading reporter of the Boston Globe, and they put that white man in jail, charging him with inciting a riot because he told you what happened at Wounded Knee. America is already on the brink of fascism. Dunlop was his name. If you read the news, you know. Some of you are too busy reading that black book. You're reading that slave book. You're reading the Bible. You ought to start reading what's going on around you. He's in jail right now, waiting trial on the grounds of inciting a riot because he told you how Indian children and adults were shot down by governmental personnel in the airplane, shot down. He saw it with his own eyes. And he reported it, and they've charged him with inciting a riot because he was above, without a gun, he was in a plane reporting the news, which is supposed to be the only thing that will keep a country free, is free flow of the news. And Abraham Lincoln said, give the people the facts and they will be free. And without the facts, he said, they will be enslaved. And here's a reporter who was arrested yesterday just because he told you the news and charged with a crime that can put him in jail for 25 years. just because he was in a helicopter going abroad, going over, reporting the news, which was his job, and he had no gun, nothing else, he wasn't even involved, but they didn't want you to get the news, and now they're going to punish him for telling you what happened at Wounded Knee. So this white reporter of the Boston Globe is in jail today facing a charge of conspiracy to incite a riot. Now, when are we going to wake up and get our mind off of You Got Shoes, our heavenly slippers, or the pearly white city? When are we going to get our mind off that stuff and start building our heaven down here? Yeah. Now, everyone take it. This is going to be a special test. I'm going to go through these envelopes like I've never gone through any. I want to see how many responded to the great truth of today's news. 5 years. 5 years. Now, this is the most conservative paper in the nation, San Francisco Examiner. If it tells you this, you better look out. Really? This is the San Francisco Examiner, the biggest press in America, the Hearst Press. And it says that within 5 years, we will have a dictatorship just like Hitler's. He said, because people don't care. He said, people are unconcerned. And 90% of the nations have been brought under dictatorships. We've brought 90% of the nations of the world today under military dictatorships. 9 out of 10 of them are under military dictatorships. That's something else. What would you do about it? Will you act upon it now? I want to see, because I've not made it so straight, so I'm going to particularly watch this offering. It's in several newspapers. I just happened to read you that one. That's why we need to shout when we're talking about our principle, when we're talking about our God of democratic socialism, nonviolent egalitarianism. We need to shout and dance and gain momentum. And some of you won't get out and dance with us because when we danced together, it was as the Indians used to before they would go into battle. If they danced with enthusiasm and brought their people together, they win their battles. They would make their conquests. And we've got to get our energy and our enthusiasm up for what we believe so that when we all dance, we dance together. And when we all shout, we shout together. And when we all study, we study together. And I want to tell you something. I know there's some of you that were not involved are the ones who think that there are some other God besides this God. You toy with religion. You deal with scriptures. You deal with Bibles. You involve yourself in mysticism. That is counter-insurgent. I want to tell you today, for your good, allow no one here to praise anything else or talk about anything else except what I am. Don't let anyone else tell you that so-and-so can do something or there's such and such a group over there doing nothing. This is the only group that's helped at Wounded Knee. I was the only one that got Billy Smith off. I was the only one that put funds for Davis. I was the only one that helped with things I cannot even mention here because some would hurt us. I have been the only one that have been in the courts, and this week three have been gotten out that had trumped up charges. I'm the only one, and I consider it blasphemy and I consider it treason if you let anyone praise anything else except what I am. And you that don't clap, I'm watching you. I've got eagle eyes. I'm watching you. I'm watching you. I want to see you clapping right now if you believe this. If you don't believe it, take a walk. Listen, brother, I'm asking you in the balcony, why aren't you clapping? If I hadn't stood up for you, you'd have been in jail not long ago over something that happened under my roof. At least you could do is support me in my belief. And you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking to you in that balcony. Now you stand by me. People wanted to nail you to the cross for something you'd done, which I wouldn't dream of doing, but I covered and cared for you and overcame the problem. And then you have other gods before me. You should be ashamed of yourself. Perhaps somebody should tell just how much they want to do to people who deviate, and how much I stand up for people that make mistakes or indulge themselves in areas that I do not care for. How much I am a protector. And then when you cannot declare that I'm the only one, I want you today to stand on your feet and clap your hands and declare it or leave. I'm not trying to be difficult. I just know who has to save you. And when we've got somebody with double mind carrying water on both shoulders, they'll hold us back. Let them go out there and believe in a sky god that will never come. Let them believe that these things will never happen. Let them die in the gas chambers if they want to, even though I want to save everyone. That's their choice. But don't let them be in here holding us back by looking back to other gods or looking back to Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't let it be. You demand that they only speak of one God, God Jim. You let them speak of only one God, the Savior that's here talking to you. Don't let them talk about any other God. I will have no gods before me. For your salvation, for your own welfare, for you, it's because I love you. Don't let anyone else be before me, because I'm the one that will marshal our resources together. I will marshal our strength. It's me that will unite us if we have our whole attention undivided upon me. But if someone is here able to sow discord amongst the brethren, it will hinder our exodus through Babylon. It will hinder us and cause us to die in the wilderness. So don't let any traitor name any other God. I am God, and there is no other God before me. I'm not seeking any accolades nor any kind of public demonstration. I'm only trying to unify us, and I happen to be the heart of the organism. I happen to be the pulsating center. I happen to be the vibrant dynamo that will draw us together. And if you let somebody else be praised or some other foolish religion, you know no one ever before me. You talk about a prophet here or a prophet there. No prophet ever has done anything for the blacks or the Indians or the poor. No one's ever done anything for them until I came along. You know that. So the question's settled. Don't listen to any of this business. Anyone that discusses a healer is a blasphemer. We're not interested in healing. I heal my people better than anyone on earth. I keep you in a better state of health than anyone. But that's not why we're here. We're here because we want a new earth, a new society, a free movement. So if any other healer is mentioned, it's blasphemy. If any other healer, living or dead, or any other religious leader, living or dead, is mentioned, it's blasphemy. We need to unify, and if we find you doing otherwise, you will be out, because we can get along without you, but you can't get along without us. You choose this day who you're going to get with. You choose this day who you're going to work with. You choose this day who you're going to serve, what idea you're going to serve, because you cannot serve two masters. You're the one you're going to hate, the other you'll love. And I say you're going to cleave to one or push away from the other. So now decide today, who's it going to be? Is it Jim Jones or is it not? Bless you. We just rescued some little kittens that were being choked down in a garbage pail right next door here. Little baby kittens being choked down in a garbage pail, and the woman using all kinds of racial language. Let me tell you, there's only us. We got them. They're saved here. But she had no feeling about it, and they wouldn't have any feeling, some of these people. They just as soon shoved down a little black child in a garbage pail too. They've got no feeling. You ought to see these pretty little baby kittens just shoved down into a garbage pail if I hadn't been there to rescue them. And they're back here, and my workers hadn't cooperated and got them to a veterinary. People do it all the time. It's not the first time I've rescued them. They put in a church, one church put little, as you heard them talk about, putting little cats and dogs down in the outdoor toilet. That's what religious folks did, because they knew that that would be a way to get me out of my church to come and help the little animals. This country is ready to kill anybody on the very snap of your finger. They're ready to murder. This nation's filled with murder.
Yeah. People so damn nice in the car.
You better get your mind off all this other, this poopy crack. You better just get off of it. You got too much poppycock in your mind. That poppycock never saved you. That poppycock never took your great-grandmothers and grandfathers out of the cotton fields. That poppycock of sky god and flyaway religion never helped any of us. We don't want none of it here. And if you talk about any of that other religion, I don't want to hear nothing about your Bibles or your religion. I only want to hear you tell me how we're going to build a free society out of this earth. I want to hear about a heaven on earth, and I don't want to hear nothing else. Thank you. Turn in those offerings now so that I can take account of it, because I'm going to separate the true from the untrue and the faithful from the unfaithful. That's the difference about this place. We shout sometimes, and when we shout, we'll shout. And when we get serious, we lay it on the line and tell it just as it is. When Hearst is printing this kind of stuff, when the Hearst boys are getting nervous, when they think we're going to have a Hitler in 5 years, we're liable to have one in 5 months. Now, what we have in mind when it comes, our missionaries are getting ready to go. We're going to serve the people abroad, and that's what we're going to do. And they're going to probably try to stop us. They're already making big issues that we are a church that takes care of our people too much. So a church shouldn't have any money to take care of its people. That's what that reporter made a case on the television. We take care of our people too much. Said a church should give its money all away. Yeah, they want us to be poor as Job's turkey. They want us to be poor as a church mouse. They don't want us to have anything. That's what they got in their mind, to keep us poor, and we're doing something about it. And they'll probably try to raise a lot of cane. But if we show to them that we're like a wild bunch of panthers when they come after us, if we show them that we can get really angry, and if they want to take one of us on, they have to take all of us on, then we'll have some trouble. You know, there's over a thousand people here in this room, and closer to 2,000 on Sunday, and that's a whole lot of people to take on. We can be pretty angry when you take us on. Now, we'll quietly walk out of here. We'll quietly take our little trip through the wilderness and leave Pharaoh's Egypt, Pharaoh's Washington, Pharaoh's America. We'll leave it quietly, and we will go along humming our songs, riding in our buses till we get to the border. And our missionaries are going out now to get us some land south of the equator. They'll be serving there, and we're going to build a clinic, and then we're going to get some land where we can raise food. That's our hope, and some animals. That's starting in the next few days. The brother that leads the choir, he speaks Spanish, and he's going. And the Myrtles, who have the picture, they're going, and we're going down there. We've got a little spot where people live to be 100 and 108, 109 years old. I've found a place that people don't get old like other people do. And you know me, when I look over this world, I look for the very best place I can find. And we'll go there and be good citizens, and we'll help others. And we'll right now be serving, as I say, through a clinic, and show them how loving we are, so we'll win their hearts, so that they'll want us. And we are glad that to anyone that wants to share with that vision, we'll share with you. But we're going to have to do it with all of our might. It calls for every kind of a program that you can bring about. It calls for every one of you selling every kind of project. Because believe me, when we have to go, we have to move as one people at Jerusalem, as it was when Jesus warned them there. You've got to be as one people at Jerusalem. And if we'll stand with one people in those 11 buses, soon to be 12, maybe 13, if we stand in those buses and are unified, they'll let us go right straight through, I promise you. At this juncture, there's not one person that weakens the chain, and if you do, they'll kill you. They'll take you and use you, just like the Jews, the few Jews that sold out the rest of the Jews. They took them and used them for a while, and then they castrated them. They saved the worst penalty that they could find for the quisling. They saved the worst kind of torture for the rat fink, for the one that sold out their brother. They saved the worst for the one that turned in the rest of their brothers. They gave them the worst torture. Not one of those that turned in their fellow travelers, their fellow Jews, not one of them got by. They castrated every one of them and tortured many of them and poked their eyes out and did a whole lot of things. So you'd feel terribly bad if you sold out your brothers and sisters and then that's all you got in return. So let be determined that we will stand where two or three agree is touching anything, it shall be done, and we will move together. Reverend Garrison, who was called out and healed from a Baptist church when he was a Baptist pastor, Baptist minister, now has a project to tell you about. And he's got this project, and I want others to do similarly, because we're going to build the best here, and we're going to build the best everywhere. And they're not going to stop us. If they do, we're going to raise so much hell that they'll hear us all the way to the White House. Now, we're peaceful, and we don't believe in killing, but we will protect what we have. We're going to protect those convalescent homes and that beautiful 40 acres of children's home. We're going to protect our cave. We're going to protect our senior citizen homes. We're going to protect our dormitories. We're going to protect our beautiful children's home and the 40 acres. We're going to protect our swimming pool and all that we have here, and we'll protect our land abroad, and we're going to protect our buses. And if you want to try to prove what we'll do, you just see, you just try to take one little thing away from us and see if we don't fight like hell. I got a pompous spy for a bunch of sellout churches here, and he's sitting back there. I want him to get it all straight, because he don't know. I'm loving. I've taken in people who betrayed me. I've forgiven them. One man I saved him when he was being crushed with a bus by revelation. The bus would have pulverized him, but I saw where it was. But he didn't know me in those days, and he turned me into an agency and made false charges. But I took him in when he got the light. And I'll take you back many times. I forgive more than anybody you ever heard of, including your God in the Bible. I forgive, and I forgive, and I forgive. But there's one thing. I'm mean when you mess with my children. And these are my children. Now you say what you want to about me. You talk about me, you can just say any old ugly thing you want to. But if you try to hurt what I have built up for my children, because I've come without money or price, nothing but these old used choir robes. I've never bought new shoes, never bought a pair of new shoes in my life. You've heard the story. I don't have anything but just money protecting you and the people that I love and these facilities. But if you think, good brother from the Alliance, if you think that I will let anyone take any of what I have sweat and nearly died for to build up for my children, if you think I'll let one little speck, one little dirt, one little clot of my 40-acre place where we're going to raise greens and strawberries and we have our cattle, if you think that you're going to take one little rock, I'll bust your ass. I think I've established the message. I think I've made it very clear. You say, I didn't know that was in the Bible. Oh, yes, it was there. And Jesus talked about asses, and Paul talked about dung. He talked about the worst word in the Yiddish language, Hebrew language. Paul said, I counted all dung that I might apprehend the Christ vision. And that was the dirtiest word you could say for ass or BM. So, I've got a right to tell it when I want to get a message across, and I think that good Alliance minister will now get what I'm saying. Don't mess with my children. Now Reverend Garrison, ex-Baptist, but now healed, has got a project in which he had a ring once when he thought he needed rings, and then he decided he didn't. He had a $1,000 ring, and he's doing something with it. It's quite interesting. With some other people are joining with him.
Thank you, Father.
It's been appraised, by the way. All those things have been appraised and proven that they're worth exactly what is said. Peace.
It seemed like to me at this time our peace is very shaky. But the San Francisco Examiner stating what Pastor have just read, we all should be at our best. realizing that we are not where we should be. We all are working on projects up in the Bay Area, and we hope that you here would do likewise. And this particular project that I have here is a drawing. We have raffle tickets drawing, you know, you see them here, dollar a piece.
Let me read what's on there for it. And I think it's a wonderful way he gives up his jewelry. One diamond ring, 3 carats, appraised at over $1,000. One mink fur jacket, appraised at over $500. One lady's diamond wristwatch, appraised nearly $500. Another one, lady's watch. All you get, these things, or these people you know, try to sell them to people out there that, you know, like that sort of thing. They'll get them a dollar per ticket. If you happen to get them and don't want it, you can do it again. Yeah. You know, if you like me, don't want diamonds, mine's been put in. I saved a man's life, as my people know, with a diamond. He gave me a diamond ring, and I turned it into the treasure. Saved him on Market Street, San Francisco. 3 thugs were going to beat him up, and I saved his life. And they gave me a diamond, but I wouldn't have a diamond. You wouldn't give me a diamond if, I won't say what I was going to say. Anyway, you can take it and you can sell it. You can use it, you know, whatever. That's not the point. But everyone participate with this. Everybody. How many will get some of these tickets? And I don't know how he's going to, he'll tell you how to sign them.
Where is she? She's in charge of the Los Angeles district down there. Where is Sister Wilson?
Sister whom?
Wilson.
The head of the
Ushers. Yes, most of you know her. She has stated that many of our L.A. members, that have been criticizing, saying that, he said, don't wear rings, what are we going to do with them? Well, if you are dedicated enough to not wear the jewelry, then turn it back and have it raffle over again. That's what we do. But
You find some of your good old neighbors that love to get a $1,000 ring. You can sell those tickets, honey.
Right.
You find a lot of Uncle Tom's and Aunt Jane. You got one on both sides of you.
Now, this raffle come off the 20th of May, and these tickets haven't been moving like they should. There's much involved in this. I want you to think about it.
I want you to come up tonight at the end of the day, and we'll have some secretaries there at the table. You assign these tickets through Sister Wilson and take the registration of who will take them to proven members, you know, and then we can take them out and sell them, because we ought to get those sold. We don't want to give no one a $1,000 ring unless they come up with $1,000 at least, you know, in the raffle.
Right.
I mean, unless we can sell $1,000 worth of tickets, we're not sure they pay for these. No, sister's doing it. We ought to be able to do it. Some of the sisters here are taking a quilt and doing that. They're doing a $1,000 in Los Angeles with a quilt. And we need to do it. We need to get everything we can get together. Honey, whatever you've got to sell, sell your old man if you have to. Come on.
Yeah!
And that applies to the brothers, too. If you've got a contrary old lady, she's holding you back, and she won't let you go forward and do this new work. Sell her, honey. See what she can get on the market.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers movie studios come by, and they want to know whether we'd rent this place. They want to do a murder scene in it for a movie. I said anything I got is for rent for my people.
All right.
That's just exactly what I meant, to get you where I want to get you, free.